Well, it is a joy to be with you here on this Christmas morning, maybe all the more so in light of the weather we had to brave in order to be here. But today we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the birth that changed the world. No other birth has been like this. Children are born every day. Some of them become kings. But it's only in this time in the story that a king came to be born as a child. And we'd hear again that story this morning as we find it in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. I invite you to open a Bible with me. So we spend some time in God's Word this morning, Luke chapter 2. You find that on page 1071. But before we hear from God's Word, let's pray together once again. Mighty God, the shepherds of old were full of your praises, saying that all they had heard and seen was mirrored by what they'd been told. Move among us now with your Holy Spirit, that we too might hear and experience the wonder and joy of the living word as we welcome the written word into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand, if you're able and willing, for the reading of God's word this morning and listen again to the Christmas story as found in Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who had pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This is God's word for us this morning. You may be seated once again. When we think about Christmas, we often think, and I'm not immune from this, but we often think about what's called the spirit of Christmas. You're probably familiar with it. It's a marvelous thing, really. It infects a lot of people around this time of year. It's hard to define, but you know it when you get it, and you know it when you see it. And let me just describe it a little bit for you this morning. The spirit of Christmas. People are nicer this time of year. Just the other day, I was in Meijer, and I got to tell you, the line was so long. And any time of year, it felt to me like there would have been more anxiety in the room. But this lady behind me was the chippiest, cheeriest, happiest lady. It was almost annoying. But she's like, "Oh, Merry Christmas, isn't this a wonderful time?" And I'm six people deep. The spirit of Christmas just makes people a little happier, a little nicer this time of year. Otherwise, we don't really see a lot of our neighbors sometimes, but this time of year, I mean, we can stand out on our driveways just a little bit longer. Maybe we compliment each other on how nice the Christmas lights look, and maybe they're white lights, or maybe they're colored lights, and maybe it's just a whole wonderful display all around. People get more generous this time of year. Donations to need-based ministries always go up. That's the spirit of Christmas. Because something inside of us responds to this. We respond to those who are needy this time of year. We want to do goodwill and have good cheer. People get kinder at Christmas. Something inside of us changes. And you experience this. I know I do. We just feel like we can be nicer. Something inside of us, maybe our hearts just get a little warmer, maybe our spirit, which quite frankly, can get kind of cold and cynical. It just grows a little tender. And yes, I know that sounds familiar. It's the story of the Grinch, but his heart just grew a little bit more each day. All of that is, and there's so much more, but all of this is part of that wonderful glow fest known as the Spirit of Christmas. There's one problem with the Spirit of Christmas, though. It never lasts. December 26 comes, and before you know it, I don't care how happy that lady was behind me at Meijer, next week I don't think she'll be as happy. The Spirit of Christmas never lasts, and I've shared this story before, but I want to share it again this morning, because one of the wonderful examples of it, sad as it may be, but a wonderful expression of how the Spirit of Christmas doesn't last, actually took place in 1914 at the beginning of World War I. And here's the story. And this is true. This has been verified. Letters have been written back to family. It was reported in the news in England. But soon after the war began, the Western Front formed, and maybe you're familiar with this, right? The Western Front was that place where one side met the other, and sometimes the trenches were only 50 yards apart. They called the space in between no man's land. And the soldiers from each other dug in these trenches and were fighting from those trenches. And then on Christmas Eve, an amazing thing happened, not along the entire part of the Western Front, but along parts and pieces of it. The story, this is recorded, English soldiers were sitting in the trenches and they start hearing this familiar tune, but they don't recognize the words. And it's the German version of Silent Night, which is still a Nacht in German. And they can tell the tune, and soon they begin to sing, and they start singing back and forth across no man's land. And it's remarkable, right? I mean, these trenches that just hours before were filled with soldiers trying to kill each other are now filled with soldiers singing Christmas carols. Who would have thought? Soldiers from both sides begin to walk out of the trenches across no man's land, and this is remarkable too. They spontaneously start sharing gifts. That was Christmas Eve. The next day, of course, was Christmas Day. And again, this actually happened a couple years ago around the 100th anniversary of this. I know there were some great commercials that came out on it, but it was recorded in the London Times. Apparently, on Christmas Day, an English soldier brought out a soccer ball, and there was a soccer match between the Germans and the English, and the Germans won 3-2. That was Christmas Day. Nobody planned this. No politicians, no generals, no prime ministers. Nobody negotiated this moment. Peace just happened. It happened on Christmas Day on the Western Front during World War I. For just a little while, the heavy fog of war lifted, and it revealed for just a few hours anyways, something completely unexpected, but not unwelcome. The next morning, December 26, the war resumed. And it went on for 4 more years. And as some historians will say, we have still not recovered from the effects and the damage and the destruction of that war. I raise the story because it reminds me of the concern I have about the Spirit of Christmas. It doesn't last. Where is the peace that we long for? I have a good friend, and I've known him for years, and he's constantly telling me that we can create it. He's an atheist. That's his spiritual bent in this world, and he's convicted of this, but he tells me all the time, we can create this peace. And to which I say, well, where is it? We've had thousands of years to figure this out. And still wars rage. Still lack of shalom exists. The Spirit of Christmas is a wonderful thing, but it is an elusive thing. It never lasts. Seems like it's such a simple thing. Why can't we be kinder, nicer, happier throughout the entire year? Or to put it this way, why isn't every day like Christmas? Well, the Bible tells us that in this world, everybody is known and has this plague inside of them. There's this dark, twisted, awful force in us called sin. It was in those soldiers in 1914 on the Western Front. It's in me, it's in you, and we can't fix it. And it follows us everywhere. There was a man by the name of Stuart Briscoe, and he talks about the distinction between the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of Christ. And I think he has this right. He says, what we need in the world isn't actually more of the spirit of Christmas, though I enjoy it. What we need is the spirit of Christ. What we need is help beyond ourselves. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Yesterday morning, if you were here, you know that I made a comment about the familiar Easter phrase that we often say when people come to you and say, Christ is risen, and people respond and say, Christ is risen indeed. And today is Christmas, and we say, Christ is born, and Christ is born indeed. We're here today to celebrate not just the coming of peace, but the very gift of peace in Jesus. We don't celebrate a season, a mindset, a spirit of Christmas. We come today because we celebrate the presence of Christ, that he came to give us life. And then he teaches us what that life could be like if we live for him, and what that life will be like when our allegiance is to him alone. Now, you are more than likely aware of the Christmas story, and you know the rest of the story. And you know that this message and mission of Jesus was not popular. He did not raise popularity statistics with everybody. It got him in trouble. And eventually, to fast forward, we know that Jesus was placed on a cross. And he died there. And yet God was at work. In all that darkness, when all of our sin broke itself on Jesus, because we understand that Jesus paid the debt. He died our death for us. And then he was raised on Easter morning. And that's good news, isn't it? And that's the hope of the world. We cannot bring peace to this world. We can try, we can work for it, and we must, but we cannot bring peace to this world. The kind of peace in which universal flourishing exists. This morning, more than likely, some of you experienced and tasted yourself the lack of peace in our world. And it breaks my heart that that's true. But you see, this is why God sent Jesus, to be your peace in the midst of. Because it doesn't mean when Jesus is here that your life is all of a sudden going to be a bed of roses and all happy clappy. It doesn't mean it's going to be simple to understand either, or easy to figure out. But the gospel tells us that Jesus is the only hope we have, and he is the best hope we can need. Stuart Briscoe, who I mentioned a moment ago, who talks about the distinction between the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of Christ, says this. He says that while the spirit of Christmas is annual, the spirit of Christ is eternal. It lasts forever. The spirit of Christmas is kind of sentimental. The spirit of Christ is supernatural. The spirit of Christmas is a human product. But the spirit of Christ is a person. It's Jesus. And the birth of this one child changed everything. Now, if honest, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of enjoy the spirit of Christmas. I like it when my neighbors are more friendly. I actually don't really mind it when the lady behind me at Meijer is just a little happier than normal. I like the music. We enjoy the decorations. Even what happens to people. But if peace is what we seek, it will not be found in the spirit of Christmas. The peace we need is the peace God gives through his son Jesus. Born in a stable and placed in a manger, Luke tells us so clearly, twice in fact. He is the hoped for peace we long for. And it wasn't how we'd expect God to launch his mission in this world to bring peace. So vulnerable a one as an infant. And yet we should gasp in amazement. We should just be in awe of the wonder of this, because this truly is good news. And the angels declared it so well. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to those on whom God's favor rests. In Christ, in a child born and resting in a manger. On him would one day rest all the guilt of our sin. And by his blood we would be healed. Well, that's the story of Easter. Today is Christmas. Today we celebrate. Today we rejoice because through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we receive a Savior born a child and yet as a king. And that's good news. But let's be clear. The spirit of Christmas may give my heart warm fuzzies. The spirit of Christmas may give me this warm, fuzzy feeling all over. But it is the Christ child, the child that was born into this world, who desires to be born into my heart, that ultimately gives me peace. And it can be true of you. And all of who hear it. You see, Jesus was born for this. He was born to save. And his coming reveals our need and God's provision. Glory to God in the highest. May his heart be your home. May there be an understanding that you have to meet no qualification in order to receive that peace. You don't have to be rich enough or smart enough or pretty enough or strong enough or good enough. God's favor rests on those who simply receive the gift of sheer and utter grace. Jesus came to make our guilty hearts sing, "Glory to God in the highest." So may the one sent by God to help those who cannot help themselves, may he be born in us. May he be born in you. And may we glorify and praise God as the shepherds did for all they heard and all they had seen. And I trust it lasted more than one night to tell that good news. To us a Savior has been born. To us a child has been given. May your heart prepare him room. May God's gift of peace be your peace. May the joy of this season be bound up in the peace of Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we marvel on this Christmas morning when we pause life for just a little while and simply sit at the feet of Jesus again. What a marvelous gift of grace you have given us in a world that is full of discomfort and a lack of peace. We have the gift itself in Christ the child. So may we join the shepherds, may we join Mary, Joseph, may we join the angels in singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to those on whom your favor rests." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.